All right, if you would this morning, turn to Matthew chapter 24 and also Acts chapter 20. Matthew 24 and Acts chapter 20. As we concluded our Sunday school hour this morning, someone asked a question about why is it that people have such a difficult time believing there's more than one gospel in the Bible? And the only reason I can give, folks, is because of tradition. Because that's what people have been taught, because that's certainly not what is indicated in the Scriptures. And I mentioned back there that really it just comes down to believing the words on the page of your Bible. And so I wanted to look at that this morning in relation to the gospel that Paul preached. And if there's any reason to obey 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it is because of the gospel. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." When you get over to the New Testament in your Bible, you've got four books called the Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In those books, the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed. The good news there is that the kingdom is at hand. During that period of time, during the 3 years of Christ's ministry, he trains 12 men to carry on that ministry after his departure. And so in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 8, we have that ministry being carried on. In Acts chapter 9, the apostle Paul is saved, and Paul, as we've been studying in Sunday school, was given the dispensation of the grace of God to usward. So you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then you have the book of Acts. And the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon, the books that Paul wrote. Then the Bible concludes with Hebrews through Revelation. And those Hebrew epistles start with the book of Hebrews. And that book, and those books indicate or have to do with doctrine for that kingdom gospel during the tribulation and leading into the millennial reign. So that's what we talk about. That's what we're talking about when we talk about rightly dividing the word of truth. Understanding that there are certain books that are written directly to us as members of the body of Christ. Now, I said all that because of the statement I made that the most important reason for rightly dividing the word of truth is to be able to proclaim the right doctrine for this age in which we're living. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus Christ is talking to the 12 shortly before his death. They have asked him some questions. Back in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus begins to partially answer those questions in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." And we're not going to read all the passage. You get down to verse 12. He says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now I want you to hold on there and look over to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, the apostle Paul is with the church at Ephesus. He's fixing to depart, and he's given them some instructions before his departure. He says there in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me." He's talking about the persecutions and the fact that the Spirit has told him he's going to suffer if he goes to Jerusalem. He said, "None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Now, people sometimes, when you make this, when you differentiate between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the grace of God, sometimes people make an issue of the fact that Paul references the gospel in his epistles, the gospel of God, and the gospel of Christ. and the gospel of the grace of God. But let me just say this. How you determine what a particular gospel is not always simply by what it's called, but what that gospel proclaims. In other words, the gospel is good news. So if I want to know what the gospel of the kingdom is, I need to know what was the good news being proclaimed about this kingdom. Go back, if you will, to Matthew again. Matthew 24. And Jesus is teaching in relation to the tribulation period that they're going to go through. As a matter of fact, that's indicated in verse 15 of Matthew 24. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Back in verse 14, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I don't know about you, but as a boy, young man, I was taught that that's the reason for us sending out missionaries going to all the world, because the end can't come until that gospel is preached in all the world. Well, that is true in relation to what is being taught here. And the end has to do with the end of the tribulation. He says this gospel should be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. Well, it will be preached during the tribulation before the end come. And that's evident as you read the entire chapter there. That's the context. Now, if you will, go back to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew 4, and I want you to notice, this is the gospel that Jesus himself taught and preached. In Matthew 4, verse 23. Matthew 4, 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. So we know that Jesus Christ himself taught the gospel of the kingdom. Look over in Matthew chapter 9. In Matthew chapter 9, in Matthew 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogue and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Notice this preaching of the gospel of the kingdom was associated with the sign gifts, the healing, the miracles, and so forth. In Matthew chapter 10, in verse 5, it says, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's the gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. You see, there's some specific instructions about preaching this gospel that were associated with that gospel. Healing, miracles, so forth. But also, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. How many of the evangelists you see on TBN follow that? You reckon they got any gold in their purses when they're flying around their Lear jets and so forth? See, people say, well, I believe the Bible. I believe that's what we ought to be preaching. No, they're not doing that. They're not following the instructions. There were some specific instructions, and we're going to see why those were important in a few minutes. In Matthew chapter 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Look in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There it's referred to as the gospel of Jesus Christ. We just read in Matthew 4, what was the gospel of Jesus Christ? He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one cried in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Now, the reason I read that verse is because we need to understand what this gospel of the kingdom was about. In other words, what was this gospel of the kingdom? Well, it included baptism, the repentance, and so forth that we just read there in Mark chapter 1. As a matter of fact, look in Luke chapter 24. In Luke 24, Christ is meeting with the 11 before he ascends into heaven. He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then open he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day. Now notice, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, what I want you to see is that his instructions were followed explicitly by the 12. Hold on here in Luke 24 for comparative purposes and go over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I mean, this is not hard, folks. This is just looking at the verses. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Well, it's the good news that the king has come. But they rejected him, and so they're instructed that this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world, and then shall the end come. That was not going to happen during the lifetime of Christ. He made that clear. And so he instructed them what to preach in Luke 24. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Well, notice in Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, Peter said, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they, the men of Israel, the house of Israel, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What did Jesus say was going to be preached? Repentance and remission of sins. What did Peter preach? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's clear. What are they repenting of? They're repenting of crucifying the Messiah that God had sent to them, that they had long waited for him, and yet they rejected him, hung him on a cross, crucified him, and God raised him from the dead, proving to them that this was the very Christ that they had been expecting and waiting for. And so he says in relation to that, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Repent of the fact that you killed him. What will be the result? Acts 3:19, verse, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So the gospel of the kingdom included repentance, water baptism, repentance for the remission of sins. Their sins would be remitted, they'd be held back, and they would be blotted out when the time of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. But it even goes beyond that. Go back to Matthew chapter 19. Because there was more included. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him which, Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. The young man saith unto him, all these have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? You see, this man was instructed explicitly to keep the commandments. As a matter of fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 23 told the disciples that the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, whatsoever therefore they bid you observe, that observe and do. And when he gave them the commission in Matthew 28, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. To keep the great commission of Matthew 28, you would have to teach people to keep the law. I mean, come on, that's what he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. He told them to keep the law. He told this man that asked, what must I do to have eternal life? He said, keep the commandments. People struggle with that. I struggled with it. Now, you can just say, well, he just kind of put him to the test there. He didn't really mean it for him to keep the commandments. That's what he said, keep the commandments. Man said, I already kept them. Well, that's good. Let's see what else he says. Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Remember what we just read back in Matthew chapter 10, provide not gold for your purses? You see, folks, this was a message, this gospel of the kingdom was a message of selling out. You know, people use that phrase now, sold out to Jesus. These people were really sold out. You know why? He told them that's what they had to do. As a matter of fact, you know the amazing thing about this? You just skip down a few verses. Now think about this. He said, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. Look down in verse 27. Then Peter answered and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? You see, there were those that obeyed that gospel of the kingdom. Peter was a fisherman. He left his. He said, we have forsaken all and followed thee. That's why Peter was so upset back here in Matthew chapter 16 when the Lord said, he asked him, he said, who do men say that I am? And Peter said, well, some say that you're a prophet and some say this and that. He said, but who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus said, but there's one thing I hadn't told you yet. I'm going to have to die. You know what Peter said? He didn't say, well, praise God for the death, burial, and resurrection by which we're going to be redeemed. No, you know what Peter said? He said, be it far from thee, Lord, this isn't going to take place. I mean, come on, think about it, folks. The human nature kicks in. Here's some men that have forsaken all. They've given up their jobs. They've given up everything. They're following the one, and they're expecting him to sit on a throne where they're going to rule and reign with him. And all of a sudden he says, but I'm going to be put to death. You mean the one that we're following? You're going to let them kill you, the Son of God? You know what Jesus said to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. He's got a work to do, he says. The work of the Father, to die for their sins. And so again, in Matthew chapter 19, Peter said, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. A future inheritance that you're going to receive. And so they ask him in Acts chapter 1, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, but to tarry here until you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and you're to be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and then Samaria and then the uttermost parts of the world. Doing what? Preaching this gospel of the kingdom. And so that's what they preach. In Acts 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, this good news that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and if you'll repent and be baptized, repent of crucifying the one that was sent to you and be baptized for remission of sins. When he returns, he's going to blot your sins out, establish a new covenant, and establish the kingdom with the nation Israel. That's the gospel of the kingdom. But they don't do that. They reject that message. Oh, there's numbers that get saved. One day there's 3,000 added to that church. Another day there's 5,000. But there were probably more than 1 million Jews at Jerusalem at that time. And they reject as a nation. And so in Acts chapter 9, God saves the Apostle Paul. And when he saves the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 9, he gives Paul a new revelation. Not one that was according to prophecy. Acts 3:21 says that which was being preached by the 12 was that which the prophets had preached since the world began. Paul said that which he preached had been kept secret since the world began. And so Paul is given the revelation of the mystery, and he's given the gospel of the grace of God. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You know what, folks? I preached for several years. And I hate to say it, but I never even knew these verses were in the Bible. All I had ever been taught to really study was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when I preach, that's what I preach from. Every now and then, you know, if the concordance led me to a verse in Paul's epistles, I'd go over and read one. But I can still remember, after moving to Chattanooga, the first night I ever heard the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4 proclaimed, I thought in my mind, so that's what the gospel is. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, that gospel of the kingdom, it was limited in teaching to the Jews, with the idea that the Jewish nation would be saved and then would become a kingdom of priests and go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But this gospel that Paul received is a new revelation. And the new revelation is that through this gospel, all men can be saved and be forgiven of all sins from which they could not be justified by keeping the law of Moses. And so Paul says to the Corinthian church there in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. You notice what he said? I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received. He said in Ephesians chapter 3, he received this mystery by revelation. I delivered unto you first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Look back in Acts chapter 13. In Acts 13, Acts 13, Paul is in the synagogue. He's preaching to those in the synagogue. And he says there in Acts 13:38, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, by Christ, all that believe are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. You need to circle that. I've got that word all circled in my Bible, underlined. That is of great significance. For by him, all that believe. You see, under Paul's gospel, nobody is excluded. The Bible says he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Under the gospel of the kingdom, salvation was available to those Jews that would believe and those that would bless Israel and come to Christ through Israel. Now the door of salvation has been opened to all men. That's what the gospel of the grace of God did. That's what the gospel of Christ did. That's why we rejoice in the cross of Christ. What He did on the cross is because today salvation is a free gift. It's no longer repent and be baptized. It's no longer keep the commandments. It's no longer sell what you have. We don't have to say, Lord, we've forsaken all and follow Thee. It's not a matter of us following the Lord. It just amazes me at the catchphrases today. We were talking about some of them back there a moment ago that are used today in relation to salvation. I'm driving to church this morning, and I had the radio on, and the fellow's preaching on there. And as he gets to the end of the message, he said, if you're lost, if you're not saved, what you need to do right now, if you're in your automobile, pull over to the side of the road and ask God to come into your heart. Now think about that, folks. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? The Bible does say that Jesus Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. But you see, salvation is not just asking God to come into your heart. Salvation is not walking down a church aisle and confessing your sins. You hear that given, you hear the invitation given. Why don't you come down here and confess your sins and lay it out before the Lord? Salvation is not joining the church and getting baptized. You want to know what a person's trusting in? Ask them if they're saved. And if they say yes, say, what are you trusting in for your salvation? Oh, well, I joined the church when I was 12 years old. I got baptized. Hard to find anybody who said, well, I trusted Jesus Christ at this particular point in my life. You see, salvation, the reason for right dividing the word of truth is that we might understand what we're to preach today. All the Bible is written to us. It's not all written for us. It's all written that we might read and understand. Listen, every word of this Bible is equally inspired from Genesis through Revelation. It's all God's Word. Every bit of it. And we're to read all of it, study all of it. But Romans through Philemon gives us the message of salvation that we preach today. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Again, we just have to believe that the words mean what they say. When he said, by this man, all men are justified from all things from which you cannot be justified by the law of Moses. Well, that all then means that. It's all, everyone, every person salvation is available to if you just trust Christ as your Savior. All your sins are forgiven. They're all under the blood of Jesus Christ. Including what some consider the unpardonable sin. Listen, folks, in the dispensation of the grace of God, there is no unpardonable sin today. As long as you've got a breath in your body and a thought in your mind, you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. The unpardonable sin mentioned in Matthew chapter 12 had to do with blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And Paul did that, as did everybody in the book of Acts. The early part of Acts that rejected the message of those that were preaching. Listen, that was not them preaching. That was the Holy Spirit speaking through them. And when the perfect people in Acts rejected that message, they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And that was, to Israel, their last chance. And here an Israelite is, a Jew who was consented to the death of Stephen, going to Damascus to get papers to have other people put to death. And God miraculously appears to him in Acts chapter 9 in a bright light and says, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Paul said, Lord, who art thou? You see, he recognized the Lord. He said, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. And Paul, with fear and trembling, blinded by that light, fell down. And God revealed unto him, Paul, I'm going to save you by my grace. I'm going to give you a ministry that differs from anything that's ever been done before. This mystery I'm giving you is something that has never been revealed in times past. But I'm revealing it to you. Paul said a dispensation of the gospel was committed unto him. It's called the dispensation of the grace of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul gives an account of that. In verse 12, he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." Now notice, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And notice, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now notice verse 16. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now that word "first" is there for a particular purpose. You know why it's there? Because Paul was first. And that word simply means first. That means there was nobody previous to the Apostle Paul that had experienced what Paul experienced. What was that? The salvation of a blasphemer. The salvation of a man who deserved the wrath of God, deserved the judgment of God, but God showed mercy to him and grace and long-suffering and imparted unto him everlasting life. "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering," what? "For a pattern to them which you hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Listen, folks. This is not hard. This is not complicated. It's simple. The simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity of rightly dividing the word of truth is that God simply changed the program. He had a prophetic program that ran all the way through the Bible and all the way up to the salvation of the Apostle Paul. That prophetic program was being fulfilled. Peter said, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and all that was taking place was according to prophecy." But God interrupted that program and saved the Apostle Paul. So that after Acts chapter 15, you never even see Peter mentioned again. Think about that. That man to whom God said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church," he just disappears off the scene basically after Acts 15. And everything is about Paul and his ministry and what's going on. And then you get over to the end of Acts, and lo and behold, the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon, the epistles of our apostle, the Apostle Paul, who was given the dispensation of the grace of God, who was given the gospel of the grace of God. He said, "This is my ministry to testify the gospel of the grace of God." If you're going to preach, you're going to teach, you need to know what to preach. Heard a message years ago by Kelton Williams over at Calvary Baptist Church over in Red Bank. And the title, I had the tape, and the title of the message is, "What Shall We Preach?" And he went right through and showed you can't preach what the 12 preached. You can't preach what Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 in this present dispensation and be correct. You got to preach the gospel Paul preached. What's that gospel? He calls it the gospel of God. He calls it the gospel of Christ. And he calls it the gospel of the grace of God. But it's all the same gospel. Paul never refers to the gospel as plural, gospels. He all refers to it as the gospel, the good news that was committed unto his trust to proclaim to us Gentiles in this present dispensation. You want to be saved today? Matthew chapter 19 is not it. You can keep the commandments. You can sell what you have, give alms to the poor, and die and go to hell. Acts 2:38 is not it. You can repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You can be dunked backwards, face forward, face down, whatever. That's not going to get it. What is it then? Acts 16, Paul was in jail there. The Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Believe that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing our trespasses. You see, folks, the good news today is that He's forgiven you all trespasses. All of your sins were taken care of at Calvary. And the idea that when you get saved, that all your sins are forgiven up to that time, and then after that you've got to confess them. Let me just ask you something. How many of your sins were in the future when Christ died on the cross? All of them. They were all in the future. You weren't even alive yet. But the Bible says that when He hung on that cross, God made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Every sin that you have committed in your life and every sin that you will commit in your life were paid for back there at the cross. Say, yeah, but they're paid for, but if we don't confess them, He won't forgive them. Oh, really? They're already forgiven. Colossians 2:13, He has forgiven you all trespasses. The issue in salvation today is not getting your sins forgiven. The issue is what you're believing, what you're trusting. Paul said to the Thessalonian church that there were those that were damned because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. All you need to do is accept the free gift of salvation. It's not keep the commandments. It's not sell out. It's not repent and be baptized. It's believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in what He did for you at Calvary. That's the message that was given to the Apostle Paul when he said, in me first He might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern. You see why Paul was a pattern? Because Paul was worthy of hell and eternal damnation and judgment and the wrath of God because he had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. He had blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And God saved him and made him a pattern and an example that we might see that salvation today is by grace through faith. There's nobody too bad to be saved. The issue is not what you say, well, you just don't understand what I've done in my past. It matters not what you've done in your past as far as salvation is concerned. It doesn't matter what you do today. It doesn't matter what you plan on doing tomorrow. That has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is what you are trusting in. And you've either trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior or you've trusted in something that you did in the flesh. One or the other. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that gospel is that Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised again the third day. Trust in that. Believe that. And when you go out to tell people how to be saved, don't be confused. That's the gospel. And as we've seen today, it is absolutely clear that there's obviously more than one gospel in your Bible because things that differ are not the same. One gospel says one thing, the other says another. Our gospel is that Christ died for our sins, was buried, raised again. Trust Him and Him alone for salvation. That's the only way to be saved today in this dispensation of grace in which we're living. Would you stand me for prayer?